Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone Payton here with you this morning. I am delighted to introduce our guest this morning. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast with Insperity, Mr. Glenn Carver. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I really am. A lot to be grateful for right now.
Oh, man. We both are so blessed. We were talking about before we came on air. I know a lot of folks are hurting, and we do feel for them, and we want to try to serve them in any way we can. But we are very blessed, and I feel so fortunate to get a chance to have this conversation and have it on air where we can share it with our listeners. I mentioned that you are with a firm called Insperity. Tell us a little bit about your title, your role, mission, and purpose of Insperity, if you would.
Yeah, thank you, Stone. So Insperity, world-class organization at 30,000 feet. First of all, Insperity is a word. It's a mashup of inspiration or inspiring prosperity. Insperity.
I like it.
That's really good Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
So 30,000 feet, we're a $4 billion publicly traded debt-free HR company. Our mission, which I love, is to help businesses succeed so our communities prosper. That's servant leadership, and I love that about our organization. So I'm a business performance advisor. My daily task is to sit down with small to medium-sized business owners, CEOs, and show them how to do three things, hopefully all three. Number one, run better. Number two, grow faster. And number three, ultimately, make more money.
There's that prosperity piece coming in.
That's right.
I suspect a guy of your talents, a guy with your background, with your pedigree, you probably had a great many choices available to you. What compelled you? What drew you to Insperity over perhaps some other choices?
Yeah, and I thank you because I did have a lot of choices. And first of all, I just love the title that I have, Business Performance Advisor. To me, that resonates with me. I love the opportunity as an advisor to sit down with these businesses and help them prosper in any way that we can. I also knew, I've been connected to the company for a decade, and I just knew what a world-class organization it is and how they treat their people. So it attracted me from many levels.
Now, when you first start working with a client or maybe even a prospective client, are there some patterns that you see emerge and you're like, oh, yep, I've seen this. Maybe you don't articulate that to the prospect or the client, but some common patterns that you typically will see that just over and over?
Without a doubt, especially, in small businesses, there are lots of patterns or lack of systems in place. That's one thing we do is we bring HR systems to our clients so they can scale and thrive and grow. If you haven't read the epic book by Michael Gerber, The E-Myth, it's a must for all small business owners.
Yeah.
I mean, The E-Myth is all about systems, and you have to have systems in place. And Michael Gerber says that the number one reason small businesses fail, not the number two reason, the number one reason small businesses fail is they don't have systems in place. So we bring that to our clients on the HR side so they can focus on their core business and not be distracted by being an employer of people, which can be daunting.
So I think maybe I resemble that remark a little bit. So what you're describing, for instance, HR systems. It sounds to me like a conversation I might have with my business partner, Lee, and we would decide, man, you know what? Before too long, we really ought to start putting some thought into that. So what I want to ask is, from a timing standpoint, when is it time to really start thinking about these kinds of topics in a small business life cycle?
Early on. One of the things I admire about our CEO, Paul Sarvati, is that he and his partner started this company 34 years ago, have built it from zero to $4 billion, and he's the one and only CEO, which is
phenomenal.
That's a big wow. But what they did day one, Stone, is they sat down at a table like this, they pulled out a blank sheet of paper, and they decided day one, first and foremost, what kind of culture are we going to have in our organization? We'll figure out the technology. We'll figure out everything else later. Let's first and foremost figure out how we're going to treat our people. And that's one thing any any aspiring entrepreneur or small business owner can do early on is decide what is our culture going to be and how are we going to treat our people?
I love that idea and don't have the first clue about how to affect the results. So let's say that, you know what? I love doing this show because I get all this free consulting.
Yes, you do.
Okay, so Lee and I this afternoon, I tell him, hey, had a chance to visit with Glenn. We were on the air. We were talking about really designing your culture, or at least that's the vision I'm getting. So let's say that we decide we want high personal accountability. We want autonomy. We want respect. We want people who are willing to step up and help everybody in the family or on the team. So that all sounds really cool, and I can certainly get with my buddy Mindy Godwin and have her print up some posters for me over at ARC. But how do you actually make that happen? What levers do you pull to actually create and design a culture like that?
Yeah, well, fantastic question. And
hey, you know what? I thought it was a great. It took me a while to get it out. I thought it was a fantastic question as well.
it's a great question. And you know, we have teams. We have four major service centers within our organization. One happens to be right here in our backyard in Kennesaw. We have 300 service people. So when I bring a client on, no matter what size, I have a team of five or six people. People, live breathing, living breathing human beings who will sit down with my client and coach them and train them through this whole process. They don't have to wing it. So everything that we do is very process oriented, starting at the top, training and development, helping teams grow, but getting that culture in place and having it written, mission statement, vision statements, core values. These are incredibly important, and they need to be set up on the front end. And really, it's an accountability piece. So when times get tough, not if, but when, vis-a-vis what we're living right now,
right?
You've got a culture in place that will keep your company alive and thriving.
So it strikes me that the culture idea, and another term I'll use, and I may be using it improperly, but at least it'll keep the conversation going in the direction I want to take it, and it's my show, so I get to do that. Values. When you're setting up the what you want and the values you want to live by and that kind of thing, in the early going, that's probably very exciting work. What, in your experience, gets it off the rails? Like, are there things that, man, if you just will do this or won't do this, you can sort of protect this thing that you built?
Yeah, well, values are, it's culture, values. It's a living, breathing document. They can evolve. They need to be.
Well, that's an important point. Okay.
They need to be consistent. They need to be principle-based. That's a concept that I love, being a huge fan of Stephen Covey. He wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. But it's something that you keep front and center. And when the car does go, or the train does go off the rails, or the car gets in the ditch, you can focus back on what you as a team have decided on are your core values, your mission statement, your vision statement. It's an accountability piece.
Well, that brings up an interesting point, because I'm thinking, if you really do nail that piece, your decisions probably are come a little easier, or at least it's a grounding point. Like, when you're trying to make a tough decision, you can go back to what you've said you want as a culture and a value system, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Check it against that.
Absolutely. I had the pleasure of working for an outstanding organization in 2005 and 2006 based in Toronto. And we had all of our mission, vision, core values, all that stuff written out on a double-sided business card, which I loved. I've never seen another organization do that. And we carried that business card, and I opened up meetings with that business card. When we had corporate internal meetings, we started off our meetings with something that was based on those corporate culture that was right there in our wallet. So it was transferable. It was real. It was written, and we lived by it.
So what do you find the most rewarding about the work that you're doing? What do you enjoy the most?
Another great question.
I'm keeping score over here.
Well, as a guy who is passionate about small business, because small business is the backbone of this country, and a guy who wrote a book called Stand in the Heat about entrepreneurship, I just love seeing small business owners. I love seeing the light go on. I love seeing them have an aha moment. I love seeing them make a distinction where they can take their business from point A to point B, not overnight. Nothing worthwhile happens overnight. As a matter of fact, one of the incredible entrepreneurs I had the pleasure of interviewing and standing in the heat was Brad Sugars, the founder of Action Coach.
I thought I knew that name.
Yeah. Oh, he's all over LinkedIn. This guy's a stud. But he said for years that it takes 5 to 7 years to build a quote unquote good little business.
Interesting.
So I just love helping small business owners get to that point.
So what compelled you to write a book? I mean, everybody wants to have written a book.
Right.
But as some of us know, actually, you know, that's a very time-consuming, or for me, it's a time-consuming process. Why did you decide to take that on?
Time-consuming is an understatement. I've read hundreds of books in my life. Some people want to climb Mount Everest. Some people want to run marathons. I wanted to write a book. That's just something that was my number one bucket list idea. Thought I'd do it in a year. It took 27 months. Had a newborn at home, new job.
Oh, great timing, Glenn.
Perfect timing. So lots of early mornings and weekends. If I do another book, and I will, it'll be a lot quicker.
So I've read the book. So this is a pretend question, but I'm asking it for the benefit of our listeners. What's the book about?
Yeah, the book, The Stand in the Heat, Lessons from Legendary Entrepreneurs on Staying Cool Under Pressure, is about mental toughness. It's about the entrepreneurial spirit. It's about self-responsibility. It's about attitude. It's about when the poop hits the fan, not if, but when, how are you going to deal with it? How are you going to choose to deal with the problems that we face as business people?
So do you find yourself, maybe not in your formal role as business performance advisor, did I get that right?
Yeah.
With Insperity. But do you find yourself just out and about because of who you are and how long you've been at it in the Atlanta market? Do you find yourself just, at least in a casual way, consulting to, offering counsel to aspiring entrepreneurs?
Yeah, it's hard not to.
And it's a two-part question. And when you do, I mean, do you find yourself just talking to them about some basic issues like, you know, what it really means to be a business and what your first set of objectives should be and your goals? And do you find yourself in those conversations? And if so, what do you tell them what should they be thinking about just to get the thing off the ground?
Yeah. It's another great question. You're full of great questions this morning.
There's so much I don't know, Glenn. The questions just come very easy.
Yes. Well, at the end of the day, I'm an entrepreneur wannabe. I'll be real transparent. And even vulnerable. So I've never started a business, grown it, done this big exit, but I've been in the game long enough and been around startups that I know a lot of the principles and strategies that need to be in place. So I'm more of a mindset guy than a strategy guy. But you know, as a small business owner, you've got to live it. You've got to love it. You know, starting a small business is a lot like having kids. It's more illogical. It's more emotional than logical. And that brings me to one of my favorite quotes of all time by this gentleman. His name is Herb Kelleher. Who is Herb Kelleher?
Why do I know that name?
You've heard of it, but it's not household. Herb Kelleher was the founder of Southwest Airlines.
Okay, I probably read an article or something, yeah. But yeah.
Pretty cool organization.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I love this. And this is great for any small business owner, aspiring entrepreneur to hear. This is from Herb Kelleher. Everyone is looking for a formula in business like EMC squared, E equals MC squared. But it's not a formula. It's got to be emotional, spontaneous, and from the heart. And I think if you don't have the emotional, the passion to start a business, because you're going to be looking at some 100-hour weeks, you know, life balance is a myth when you start a business. Don't start in the first place. Stay with your job. Keep that W-2 job. Keep that paycheck. Do not go off on your own because it's all in, baby.
It is. It really is. And, of course, the rewards are commensurate with that. And for those of us who decide we want to be, I call it gladiators. You know, there are gladiators, and then there are other people in the ecosystem. We were working with some startups down at ATDC, we being me and my business partner, Lee Cantor, who founded the network. And there was a lot of back and forth between some new startup folks, and they were talking about some of the first things they needed to do. Well, you got to get your tech stack out. What they meant was all the technology stuff. And then some other guy says, well, no, you need to get your marketing stack. This must be the new lingo, the stack.
Okay.
Tech stack, marketing stack. And Lee said, you know what you need? If you're going to start a bit, you need a customer.
Oh,
right?
Great, perfect segue. Thank you. So I'm a huge fan of the late, great management guru, Peter Drucker.
Yeah.
My two all-time favorite.
Man, you read a lot. You don't just write, you read.
No, I read. I read. I'm a learner. Now, we're a product of the people with whom we associate and the books we read. So Peter Drucker said, you know, number one, culture eats strategy for breakfast. That's why I go about, that's why I'm passionate about Insperity, is you got to get that culture right. But he also said the number one goal of a business is to attract a customer. I mean, if you don't have a customer, it's all for naught. You've got to attract. He also said that all business is a function of two things and two things alone. Everything else is a derivative of these two things. Are you curious?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Innovation and marketing. So you've got to have something that's a little bit different. I used to work for the iconic, the late serial entrepreneur, billionaire Don Panos, and he used to say that it doesn't pay to do what everybody else is doing. It's got to be a little bit innovative. You got to have some special sauce. But number two, you got to tell the world about it. You can have the best product or service in the world, but if you can't get it off the shelf, you know, it's what we call mental masturbation.
So what's next for you? Are you going to focus your energy in the way I'm envisioning what you do? Is like a law practice or a consulting practice. So I'm going to say it that way. Are you going to spend most of your energy in the coming months in growing your practice and like in growing your client base? Is that where your focus is going to be?
Yeah, ultimately, but in a little different way. Really, we're living right now in a spirit of service. So I'm reaching out to my prospects and saying, how can we help? You know,
yeah, let's talk more about that.
Help.
But for listeners who may be listening to this a year from now, we are recording this and broadcasting live right in the throes of this COVID-19
correct
crisis. I want to make, because, you know, people listen to this stuff, you know, years later. So just to be clear about that, yeah, speak to that and how you're, anything you're doing differently during this time than you might normally.
Yeah, as a $4 billion organization, we've created fantastic resources for small to medium-sized business owners regarding the CARES Act, regarding you know, how to deal with this crisis, how to deal with the fear that some employees don't want to show up at work. And one of my clients has already reached out to us and said, "Hey, I've got an employee who is works in the manufacturing area out back. He doesn't want to come to work. As a matter of fact, he's already told us he's not coming to work. Help! What do I do? I've never been through this before."
Ouch.
So we advise our small business owners, and we coach them through that process. And that's a level of service that we bring to our clients that's unmatched.
So some of what I've seen, and I mean, I applaud at least people are trying, but I am starting to hear from people that have never reached out to me before. And it's, I don't know, it's a little thinly veiled, right? Like, you know, in the first sentence, you know, I hope you're doing well under these, unusual circumstances and all that. But then there are other people in my ecosystem that have always, you know, just kind of really been relationship oriented and really wanted to help us grow our business. And I have seen people really step up and just try to do everything they can within reason to make sure that they're helping us in some way. And like in our world, maybe it's just connecting us with potential sponsors for a show or with compelling guests or ways to repurpose the content or something like that. But I get the sense that someone that's been in the marketplace as long as you have, someone with an organization with a reputation like an Insperity, I bet you guys are really enjoying the fruits of your labor for the last X number of years, because now when you reach out, it doesn't come across like that at all. It's another opportunity to live into your value system. And
yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I'm a big believer that, this is an adverse time we're living in, right?
Yeah.
This is global. And I've always been a big believer that adversity equals opportunity. You're doing a lot of your shows remotely. I mean, everybody's living in a Zoom world.
Yeah.
But I love what the late, great Jim Rohn said. And he did a, he's kind of a business, was a business philosopher, and his spirit lives on. And back in the 80s, somebody walked up to him after one of his great seminars and said, Mr. Rohn, what do you think the, the business environment, what's the opportunity in business the next 10 years? And he said, well, it's a great question. It's really the same it's been for the past 10,000 years. He said it's there's going to be adversity with a chance of opportunity. Yeah. And I don't think that ever changes because human nature doesn't change much.
Right.
So I just encourage anybody who's in business, wherever they are in the planet, to search for the opportunity in the adversity. There's always opportunity in adversity. Solving problems is where you make money.
And in this right now, I mean, if anything, people have more and different and new needs, not fewer, right?
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
It reminds me, we were on a, we have a team call every week at the Business Radio X. We have 10 studios and not everybody participates on every call, but we share best practices and that kind of stuff. And one well-meaning young person on the team, not actually a studio partner, but someone who works within one of the systems, she was, and it came from a place of good intention. But she said, well, how are you guys handling, how do you guys feel about reaching out and trying to sell someone on underwriting a show or sell someone this core thing that we do, which is help companies, you know, create a media property that will serve their ecosystem? You know, I'm feeling a little awkward about doing that while everybody's hurting in these uncertain times. And I don't know, maybe I'm just old school, but I got to tell you, I got on my soapbox and I tried to say this politely, and I really appreciated the question. I said, look, if you really believe in what we're doing, you believe that what we're doing is just and right and true, these people, you better believe they're hurting. They need us more than ever.
Yes.
If you believe in what you're doing and that is your mindset, and you're not just trying to sell them something, you're genuinely trying to serve, now more than ever, you got to get out there and try to find a way to help these people with our platform. So I don't know. That was my take on it. I would be interested, or do you think we should back off and tread lightly? Or do you think, man, if you've got something to help people, now more than ever is when we ought to be out there?
Now, you have to do it in the right spirit, but I believe that now more than ever, we have to help the business owners, our fellow community. We have to, in our own way and right, help our fellow business owners. The earth is going to continue to spin. The wheels of commerce will continue to turn. We will get through this. And if you believe in what you do, it'll come off in that manner. It won't come off cheesy. But a great question, and I'd like to tell a real quick story.
Sure.
About somebody who took advantage of the Great Recession. So back in 2010, I found myself in Jasper at the Jasper Chamber of Commerce. It was the Small Business Awards night. And I remember it was like yesterday. I don't remember the name of the jewelry company. There were several in Jasper. But the couple, the husband and wife couple who won the Small Business Award was a jewelry company, local, mom and pop. But they decided, you know what? It's the Great Recession. Instead of being in fear, we're going to double down. They might have even tripled down on their marketing.
Really?
And they they got customers. I think they got more customers in that time frame than they ever had before in a down time. So they to use an investing term, they averaged down on their marketing, you know, and they got offensive. The good offensive.
The good kind of, not yeah. offensive, right. Offensive.
Offensive, right. Yes. Inflection, it's important.
Well, no, that's true. Like right now, people who are in a position to do it and have the right kind of counsel probably are taking advantage of some of the financial dynamics, right? And buy low and sell high. I'm sure that still works.
It still works.
And it probably works in marketing. It's probably, you could probably get some pretty good deals on whatever the outlets are for strategies for marketing, right?
Yeah, everything's on sale right now.
So going back to your thing, look for the opportunity and adversity.
Sure.
I love it. All right, so let's back up and talk a little bit about workflow, what people can expect if they want to explore the idea of engaging Insperity and Glenn Carver. Talk to me about the early stages of that engagement cycle, maybe even from pre-engagement when we're just sort of, is there like some sort of initial consultation-y thing?
Of course. Our initial consultation is a discovery call. And that's typically an hour just for us to learn more about their business, share with them a little bit about what we do at Insperity, and see if it's a fit. It's non-threatening. It's a good, honest, what I call a good, honest business conversation. I'm always transparent that we are not a fit for everybody. We're a premium service. And we're a premium service because we deliver loads of service to our clients. And quite frankly, you have to pay those salaries. So initially, it's just a discovery call to have a good, honest conversation about, is there potentially a fit?
So you mentioned earlier in the conversation, you referenced having a team behind you. So you are a very educated, knowledgeable, I'm going to say seasoned.
Thank you.
Guy in the marketplace. So you are knowledgeable and you have specialized knowledge and expertise in this domain, but I'm not relying solely on Glenn Carver's intellect. If I'm working with Insperity,
thank God,
that's just sort of my point man, right?
Oh yeah. Well, without a doubt. And that's because you would not want to rely on me solely. That'd be a bad recipe for success. So I liken this to if you go to RBM and buy a Mercedes from the sales representative, and the following week the sales representative gets run over by a bus, you know, I'm still backed by that dealership and Mercedes-Benz USA, which happens to be about a 3-iron from where we're sitting. So, yeah, I'm point guy. I'm tip of the spear. But, yeah, we bring in teams of service people to help with the training, with the payroll systems, with the HR compliance, HR administration, benefits. You know, one thing we can do for small business owners, because unfortunately small business owners have no leverage, they have no buying power, we can show a small business how to have Fortune 100 benefits, medical benefits. So that's
you know,
that's
I saw
intriguing.
That. I saw that in my extensive pre-show research that I did a few minutes ago. but I saw that benefits was one of the areas. Speak to that a little bit, because it's never really occurred to me as the number two guy in our little company, our good little business,
sure,
right?
Sure,
that we our overnight 12-year overnight yes. success, good little business that we have here. It never really occurred to me to start thinking about benefits, but you know, maybe that's not too far off from us. Maybe there is a way we could provide our studio partners and/or their people with benefits, but we're never going to have the buying power of a bigger company, but you're saying maybe we could if we worked through a firm like yours.
You could. It's possible. We have a couple of different models, but we use United Healthcare, which is one of the best providers on Earth. Not only our 3,000 Insperity employees, but all of our clients' employees are all on one plan, all in one pool. We have 275,000 lives on one plan.
Oh, okay.
So that's economies of scale.
Sure. And everybody wins from that. The underwriter,
wins.
The United folks, all that. All right. So there's the benefits. There's the HR consulting, the structure, and then there's payroll. Is that the three big buckets?
Yeah. There's HR administration. There's payroll. There's the benefits, you know, the medical benefits. There's, compliance.
Yeah, see, that's another headache.
Headache is an understatement.
I don't want to, all I got to do is make one mistake and this whole thing goes down, right?
Oh, I'm not going to back up the hearse right now, but it's epic. I mean, since 1980, government regulations have increased fourfold. It might be more than that right now. I mean, the alphabet soup regulations that the small business owner has to deal with is it's overwhelming. I mean, my heart goes out to small business owners who have to stay in compliance. And three top lawsuits right now faced by small business owners, if I can remember them. Number one is a wrongful termination. Number two is sexual harassment. No surprise there.
Right.
And number three is violence in the workplace. You know, people get wacky and do bad things. So, you know, imagine you and Lee spending 12 years to build this wonderful business and it's free to make an allegation. Some ridiculous lawsuit comes out of left field and wipes you out. So we help our clients stay out of the proverbial hot water.
Well, I'm glad I asked. That's important. Okay, before we wrap, let's make sure that our listeners know how to get their hands on some of the resources that we talked about, and they know how to get in touch with you or somebody on your team. Early in the conversation, you mentioned a book by Insperity CEO, yeah, hit the high points on that again and make sure that they know how they get their hands on that.
Yeah, this is, you can get this at Amazon, and maybe I've got a couple copies left. Who knows?
There you go. Visit with Glenn. He'll come out. Maybe he'll let you look at one of his.
I might hook you up. But this is a wonderful book written by our CEO, Paul Sarvadi. He wrote this in 2019. It's called Take Care of Your People. And it's written from one CEO to the other. So it's 10 strategies on how to put HR systems in place so all these nasty things don't happen to you.
Right.
And so you can have the right culture in place. So there's offense and defense. You got to protect the downside. And one thing that I wanted to share that I got from the book that I wanted to share in the show is, what did Paul say? He said, planning for the worst in business is a necessity, not an option. And that's not my wheelhouse. That's not the paradigm I come from. I come from everything is possible. But I think that's really good. I mean, you've got to plan on the worst or you'll get taken out. It's a necessity, not an option. So that's defensive. On the offensive side, you know, make sure you have that culture in place early on so that you have a way to measure your decisions against a stated culture, mission, and vision statement.
Very well said. And it's not my wheelhouse either. I tend to, I don't know if it's false bravado or if it's real, but I tend to always be looking for the, you know, the optimistic side of things. I'm very fortunate in that Lee is more strategic than I am, my business partner.
Yes.
And he's a little quicker to look at things from that angle. So that's a nice counterbalance for us, which brings us back full circle to that idea of, you got to be careful about who you hang out with, whether it's formal structure, like the backup that you have or the business partner that I have, but also just out in life, right? You got to pay attention to who you're hanging out with. Okay. So that's the book from your CEO. You wrote a book not too long ago. Or has it been a while yet?
It was 2012.
Okay.
So time flies.
All right. And talk about that. Can we get that? Yeah. How can we get our hands on that?
Oh, yeah. That's on Amazon as well, like everything else. That's called Stand in the Heat.
Okay.
That's a book about mental toughness, entrepreneurial spirit, and self-responsibility. And it's written at a good third grade level, so it's very palatable.
I knew I liked that book for some reason. Yeah. That's fantastic. All right. And if somebody would like to reach out and have a conversation with you, maybe as things get open up a little bit, actually have you come to their office maybe even. We'll see.
That would be fantastic.
For now, maybe get on the phone. Coordinates, whatever you think is appropriate, LinkedIn, email, website, whatever you think is the best.
Yeah, Glenn Carver on LinkedIn or email is glenn.carver@insperity.com. Glenn with two N's, the second N is silent.
Yeah, I remember now, yes.
Glenn.Carver@Insperity. That's Insperity. Glenn.Carver@Insperity.com. And I just love to have good business conversations with good people.
Well, Glenn Carver with Insperity, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. Thanks for coming in and sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks, Stone. Thanks for having me back. It's been a while.
My pleasure. All right, until next time, this is Stone Payton for our guest today, Glenn Carver, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Atlanta Business Radio.